You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. Hungry for adventure? Then travel to A La Carte, the charming land below the floating city of Heavenly Delight, and join the young cook Ramen for her daily dose of wacky hijinks in the new series Delicious. With a cast of eccentric, strong female characters, this wonderfully illustrated comedy comic will be out in July, but you can pre-order now by clicking the banner on the page for this podcast. Get the limited hardcover first edition, plus free stickers and an art print as a gift.
Wow, stickers!
A perfect gift for your child, or those of you who are forever young at heart. One of Us strongly recommends this one.
You know, we always try to bring some levity to our reviews and content here, and sometimes something comes up that's really hard to do that to. I mean, just especially documentaries, a lot of the time, just really emotional, really personal. So I feel like I just got to give it a valiant effort to get through this one. Because all I got for this, this one is a gut punch. Maybe somehow only the second most depressing documentary I've watched in the last month. But with me to discuss this depressing documentary is Luwain.
Hey, how's it going?
Melina.
Hello, I'm your Huckleberry.
Andrew.
Yeah, I don't think it's that depressing.
It's heavy, at least. I'll give it that. It's not anywhere near as depressing as the other one I saw, which was the Anthony Bourdain one, which that one is like, you will be calling every family member you know and any friend that's ever had depression and be like weeping at them like, are you okay? This is more like, shit, man. Like, this dude perseveres like a motherfucker. This movie is the documentary about Val Kilmer, pretty much completely by Val Kilmer. Evidently, the dude was documenting every bit of his life with a video camera basically since he was like a tween. He just kind of kept that spirit going throughout his whole career. Some really actually amazing archival footage of other famous actors and the films that you know him for. But it's also with the framing of, if you don't know, Val Kilmer in the last 5 years had a fight with throat cancer that has led to two tracheotomies, and he now has completely lost his voice, has to speak and eat and breathe through a tube in his throat. And this is kind of him explaining his life and his struggles through that, through his archival footage and his stories, and his son doing a very good Val Kilmer impression on a voiceover, which is, you know, I'm sure just even harder for him to do because that's a really personal thing.
Yeah, can you imagine? Like, hey, son. Want to speak in my voice for a while?
Yeah, this is, as I said, it can be quite a gut punch, especially if you're a fan of Val Kilmer. But the first like half of this, I think, is just, as I said, it's amazing archival footage. And a lot I didn't know about him. I did not know Val Kilmer was Juilliard trained, for one.
Mm-mm. Or that he was one of the youngest to ever get into Juilliard at the time, or if not the youngest. I had no idea about that.
I've always known that he was supposed to be a very, you know, serious and focused actor, which some always say, oh, that means you're a difficult actor. But I mean, this really puts that into perspective, because also with that, it's also clear how much he's always enjoyed having fun. You know, I think, you know, one of his earliest things that they bring up is, of course, him in Top Secret. I think I knew him in Real Genius more than that.
But yes.
It's like, he had no problem being goofy and funny on screen and then, you know, switching the series like in one of his next movies. He just loved the diversity of performance. And that's always been how I've known him, been a big fan for a while myself.
Well, that's one of the things that's very clear very early on, is that he's going to be an actor one way or another. I mean, that's just what he's going to do, because it seems like, what else would he be, right? Even in the early footage that you see of him with his brothers, right? Like, this is not somebody who's just goofing around with their siblings and stuff. He's already taking it kind of seriously, which is not anything I did when I was that age screwing around with video cameras. I'm also kind of curious what would have happened had the one brother not passed away. because I wonder what they'd have been like if they'd have been like a team, right? Like a director and his lead, which they sort of get into a little bit. Spoiler, sorry. One of his brothers passes away when he's young. And I was always kind of curious. There were several points in this where I found myself thinking, I wonder what would have happened in his career had this thing been different, right? And that was the first time I did that. But there are other cases where it comes along. But dear God, you can't. He always seemed very serious about acting, like as a profession, as an expression. But the focus that he shows and the amount of time he spends trying to get roles in early, there are bits where there, it shows audition footage that he did personally, like he wasn't literally auditioning, but he had shot footage for auditions for these movies. It was fascinating to watch him doing these roles that, you know, other actors have done, and wondering what it would have been like to see him do that.
Yeah, like he did his own extended audition for Full Metal Jacket for Stanley Kubrick, and he did his version of Henry Hill from Goodfellas. And watching him do that, I was like, God, this guy's so committed. You know, he's got these various takes where he's like, let me show you what it's like if I were to read the line in this voice, or how about if I do it like this? And this isn't even someone who's got the role yet or at all. He's just wanting to explore it, and he is just that into the idea of the craft. And you're kind of like, this is a guy who, I think, like you said, he was probably, I think he just, yeah, from a very young age, he had that acting bug. He just always wanted to do it. And I think he was always kind of more into that idea than fame. Because you look at him and you're like, this isn't a guy who seems to relish being in interviews, which could probably explain why he seemed kind of famously aloof when he does press. You know, he doesn't hate the idea of talking. He's just kind of like, I really just want to get on to the next thing, and I want to find that next creation to throw myself into.
Yeah, and those audition videos are almost like an extension, it seems like, of like the family home videos that you see. Mm-hmm. You know, they're almost... I mean, he's still playing a caricature in a way, so I can see maybe that's why he didn't get those roles. Like, there's the Goodfellas one where he's almost being a little like too gangster, but obviously with Jim Morrison and The Doors, that worked out for him. But it was cool to see just how passionate he was about the craft. But I am glad that you mentioned, you know, how depressing the Anthony Bourdain documentary is, because at the very beginning of this, I thought, are they using some kind of AI for Val Kilmer's voice too? And obviously that documentary, the Anthony Bourdain one, got a little bit of flack recently for that. And then they go right to showing, you know, the son, Jack, doing it. And it was so touching, and it really, you know, the whole through line of this movie is just about family, I think. So I didn't think it was that sad, even though we're all big fans of Val Kilmer, and to see, you know, what happened, you know, I think it is definitely a shock, but he still has such a great spirit. And I think that spirit is like really in the film.
Yeah, it's clear he loves seeing his fans and connecting with the movies. I mean, he's at Comic-Con in one of these signing, and he says he needs a break, and he's definitely in very rough shape. Especially if you've never known anyone or family that's been seriously ill. It's very, very rough to see that, because you know that connection all too well. But he truly comes back and is like, no, I'm here for these people. And, you know, he's at an event here in Austin, you know, for Tombstone. And he's having a great time there, throwing the axe, you know, axes around, tomahawks. I'm like, the dude is just – even if he's lost his primary ability to perform vocally as an actor – he still is just amazingly full of energy and commitment. Like, I'm sure he still would be open to acting in any way he could right now, because he seems like he loves this. And that's, I think, despite how heavy it feels when it gets to that second half, especially as it's a lot more personal and a lot more about his life, you know, passing of his mother, and, you know, what he did for, you know, selling a dream to make another dream come true of his. It's also almost more uplifting for that for me, where I'm like, this guy has gone through probably the most adversity I could picture for an actor, where he's lost something that he clearly was incredibly passionate about, you know, his ability to perform and, you know, be this different character vocally is now, you know, finding his other ways to express those passions and still live that life. And I found that just really, really uplifting in that, because I'm not a spiritual person. Val Kilmer clearly is an incredibly spiritual person. But like, I definitely do find like that persistence of his human spirit, especially, like, stuck with me.
Yeah, I really love. I love the fact that, you know, as you were saying, yeah, he is very deeply spiritual. He's always been open about that. But this is not a movie where he or the film itself is trying to sell you on the Church of Christian Science. It's not trying to sell you on religion. It's just saying that this is kind of what has been that through line for him in his life, to kind of get from one challenge to the next, whether that was, you know, losing roles, losing family members, you know, his marriage falling apart, you know, his famous marriage to Joanne Whalley, who, you know, worked with him on Willow, and him having children with her. And I'm like, yeah, no, as someone who's not spiritual myself, I was like, no, I totally respect that is something that is kind of guiding you. And I appreciate that for him, like, that is something that gives him strength so that he can continue to create in whatever capacity he can.
Noting that this is credited at least as being directed by a duo of Ting Pu and Leo Scott, but it kind of becomes apparent, one, looking at their work history and looking at this movie, that their credit as director is more of just as being the editors of this movie. Mm-hmm. You know, this is mostly stuff that Val is filming, his family is filming. And that just really adds a lot of personality to it. Like, the interstitials are done basically through scrapbooks of his film career and titles that are very fascinating to me. And a lot of time with his kids here that are also very personal. It's clear the guy loves his family to death. All of that together just really, I think, explains so much more about who Val Kilmer is than I ever knew.
Well, that was actually one of the things I found sort of interesting about him, about this in relation to him. I looked back at a lot of the movies of his that I've seen, and very often he plays a hyper-competent character who often is really aware of how good they are. And even as much as I may like the character, there's something sort of off-putting about that. And I know that I sort of transferred that to some degree onto the actor, just by the nature of him constantly being that sort of guy. And it was sort of weird to see him this vulnerable. I mean, because we've all talked about how kind of depressing it is or isn't or whatever, but the last half of this, where it really gets into some of the most recent things he's dealt with and with the cancer and everything else, it was so tragically human, like the presentation of him in that, you know, because he's always been in most of the stuff I've watched him in. I mean, most of the stuff I watched him in pretty much ends by like 2000 or so. So he's still, you know, Val Kilmer, movie star-ish. You know, and it was weird to see him as he is now, you can almost still see the same guy in there, right? Like, I mean, he's physically evolved some because of everything he's been through and time and how it does everything. But there's times when he has he still has that weird little cockeyed grin, or that smile, or there's the thing that reminds you, oh my God, this is why this guy was a movie star, right? This is why he was Val Kilmer, right? Like, I don't know, I can keep talking about how awesome he is, because much like my sort of rekindled love for Brendan Fraser, the same thing with Val Kilmer. I realized, oh my God, I really did love these guys. These were fantastic guys to watch perform, and I didn't realize that I missed them, but apparently I did.
Yeah. And yeah, I think to your point, to kind of piggyback off that, I wrote in my notes that this movie, while watching it, I was like, I could kind of see little hints of what I was afraid this was going to be, not in how it was presenting it, but how I could kind of see into like this alternate reality where this turned out to be just an out and out vanity project, you know, where he gets a bunch of his famous friends to basically come in and be famous talking heads, and how they have nothing bad to say about him, only glowing, wonderful things to say about him, and just nothing but vitriol for the evil corporate Hollywood machine. And I was so, and I'm like, thank God that this guy has as much footage of his life as he does, because it makes it so that even the most well-meaning other version of that documentary isn't necessary. because all you need to tell this story is just the footage of his life. And really, I think that's all he's trying to do at the end of the day. He's not trying to say, look how misunderstood I was. Look how undervalued I was. Look how Hollywood just totally screwed me over as an actor. It's not saying that at all. He goes out of his way to not say that. He's basically just saying, here's the story of my life. And now that I have this issue where I can't speak the way I did, it is forcing me to look back and make me want to tell my story. And I thought that is what made me, I like to use the word, verklempt. Mm-hmm. I think not because this was depressing ultimately, but because it was just so surprisingly poignant from an actor who's not known, unfortunately, for being that.
Well, this is a documentary about acting. I mean, that's the whole idea of him, you know, taking all this footage. And it's interesting because I don't know if you guys saw the little documentary, I think it was on Hulu, that Soleil Moon Frye did. And she was kind of the same way, where she just was the only one with the camera all the time, you know, and she just, so during, like, after Punky Brewster, all of that stuff, she just had so much footage of every star you can imagine, from Leonardo DiCaprio, and she moved to New York, she did all this stuff. So it reminded me of that a lot, where Val Kilmer was the guy with the camera and got all this great footage. But it would be interesting to see what this documentary would have been if he would have just done a documentary about acting that would have been maybe a little more pretentious, if he wouldn't have gone through, you know, throat cancer, which would have obviously, you know, been not as sentimental and not as powerful. And I don't know if he would ever have made that film. But I think the main thrust of this movie is really about, you know, this is about acting, and you put yourself into those roles. And I think, Luanne, that's what you're seeing. Like, and you're remembering, like, hey, I saw all this great stuff, and I love this guy.
Well, why don't you roll that then into your final thoughts, though?
Well, I mean, that all being said, I have a very soft spot for Willow, and I'm excited about the, you know, the new Disney Plus series and whatever that's going to entail. So I would definitely give this, you know, 4 out of 5 Daikini babies for Willow. And Mad Mardigan is fantastic and shows, you know, what a superstar this guy can be. But I think the documentary as a whole, it really shows you that, you know, how he came from such a, you know, a theater background and wanted to be, you know, this really brilliant, you know, kind of the next Laurence Olivier, or he wanted to be Marlon Brando, and Hollywood, you know, picked him up, and he's very fortunate for that. But I don't think he ever really got that great, great role. But I think probably Jim Morrison was maybe the closest that he got to really living in both worlds. But I think also The Saint is one that,
yes,
is very much him. You know, I think especially after this documentary, that's the kind of, if you go back, and I really want to go back and watch The Saint after watching this.
Oh, definitely.
You know, but yeah, I think it was a fantastic documentary. And I don't think once you get over, I think, the initial shock kind of seeing, you know, somebody you grew up with, maybe you've forgotten about him, and now you're kind of remembering how much you love him. Mm-hmm. Once you get over that initial shock of seeing him on screen, you know, with the tracheotomy and stuff, that once you get used to it, it's still him. And I think he's, you know, just like in The Doors, where Jim Morrison says, I have the soul of a clown. He definitely is that guy.
Well, great. Melina, how about you?
Well, I mean, I'm a 90s kid. I definitely grew up when Val Kilmer was in the thick of everybody knowing who he was. He was one of the biggest stars in the world. He was, you know, every single woman I knew had a major crush on him. And, you know, as I grew older, I became one of those women. I remember growing up just always being so aware of him. And then as, you know, the 2000s rolled around, it kind of became clear that his star had fallen considerably. And there was always the question of why that was. Was it just because he didn't know how to pick good projects anymore? He wasn't being offered good projects. There was definitely the question of his reputation. I never knew how much of that was true, but it never stopped me from wanting to see more of him. I always wanted to see him come back. And I always, because I was like, this guy, you know, you take all of the bravado away from him, he really is such a talented guy. And so to see that he's been stymied by his illness, and how he was performing pretty much up until the moment he no longer could, is just, you know, it's heartbreaking, but it's also inspiring. I was like, this guy is a creator. He just wants to create and he'll do it in any way he can. So great to see so many of the behind the scene footage from the movies that he gave his best performances in. And it just makes me want to go back and watch all of them with this movie in mind, you know, knowing that there's this behind the scenes look of him just so throwing himself into it. Even Iceman, the guy just committed so much to that unbelievably goofy 80s action movie, but he just so committed to it. And you're like, wow, that's really incredible. I really adored this. I definitely recommend it to people who are fans of Val Kilmer and people who are fans of just movies in general. This is definitely worth your time. And it's not the Anthony Bourdain documentary, so rest assured. I'm going to give this 8.5 out of 10 Huckleberries.
All right, well, Luane, what's your thoughts?
I don't know what the probability is that he or anybody involved in this project is going to hear this review, but God damn, thank you, Val, for letting us see inside your life and see you as a human being and not just a star. I wasn't kidding. I kind of forgot how much I really love this guy. He's incredible to watch in whatever he's in, even garbage. He's still, you can't take your eyes off of him. And it turns out, despite everything he's gone through, you still can't. This was kind of a surprise to me. I don't know what I was expecting, but I know that I wasn't expecting to feel the way I did watching it. And I spent a lot of time even trying to figure out how I was going to score this thing, because it's not a conventional documentary. It looks kind of different. It's sort of an odd thing. And it, what is it? You verklempt your way of describing how you felt watching it. But in the end, I guess the important part is the score. This is for me 4.5 out of 5 Thunderhearts.
Forgot about that movie. I love that movie.
Everybody forgets about that one. I was surprised that didn't play a bigger part in this, given how much spirituality and the native environment important in his life.
Especially because he's a quarter Cherokee, I believe.
I think overall, I feel kind of closest to what you were saying, Luane, where it's like, I don't know or have had a lot of struggle with what I'm going to rate this, because I think it's a fantastic documentary. The footage is amazing. Kilmer's clearly a very well-spoken or well-written, at very least in this case, person when he really gets down to it, when he's not, you know, kind of being as people always saw him in interviews where – which I'll be honest, you know, I've done some of the press junkets from the interviewer side. It's a weird damn environment. Like anybody who's natural in that, I don't know how you do it consistently. So I've never held that against him, but I've been a fan of his for ages. I've loved that, especially even more so in the second half of his career, he's become more willing, you know, to even also be, you know, lighthearted and make fun of himself. Like, you know, he was on Psych just having a great time being an 80s reference. You know, he was on Robot Chicken doing Manny faces. Like, the dude has always been a favorite of mine. But I honestly didn't know much about him past, you know, the work that I knew, because I'm not somebody who's like a pop culture, you know, aficionado and following all the interviews and all of that for most people. You know, if they're talking about like their work, I'll listen to what they say about their work, but I don't care about most of the other stuff. And yeah, I did not know this much about Val Kilmer past that, you know, he had that strong spiritual side. And it's a fascinating documentary. If you're a Val Kilmer fan, I can recommend this to you immediately. Like, it's a must-see. If you're not a big Val Kilmer fan, I have a harder time saying how much this is a must-see, just because it's such an odd personal film. And I think it's something that you can enjoy without being a fan of his work or being, you know, a great lover of his work. But it's a hard sell because, one, we've all had a rough fucking 2020. Like, say, watch this movie that's really heavy and will tug on your heartstrings is a hard thing for me to say to a lot of people. You know, but I'm honestly really glad I signed up for this one. Really glad I got to see it. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 video cameras that – is that the one with the microphone?
Yeah. I do love how many people – like he was so known for carrying a camera around that people would notice whenever he got a new one. Like, oh, that's you carrying the new equipment around, huh? It's like the fact that he was filming wasn't what was shocking.
I wonder if an aspiring actor should actually watch this or not. You know, I mean, if it's a documentary about acting, is it going to inspire you to actually want to get into the business?
No, it'd make me quit.
Yeah.
It really would.